today we're going to kick off a new series that we're calling Overcoming Tough Times. Overcoming Tough Times. How many has ever went through a tough time in your life? How many say, Pastor, I'm going through a tough time right now, if I can just be honest. If you're not going through a tough time, you either just came out of a tough time or you're getting ready to go into a tough time. But either way, you're in one of those three positions. Either you're just coming out, you're in the middle of, or you're getting ready to go into. At some point in your life, you're going to have seasons that are tough. And those are the seasons that really make or break us. They're really the seasons that develop us. They're really the seasons that define us as Christians, define how are we going to respond, how are we going to hold on to what God is saying to us today. So today we're going to talk in this series on overcoming tough times, and I've titled today's sermon, Standing Through Your Toughest Season. Standing through your toughest season. Well, it's tough to go through tough seasons, isn't it? I had the awesome opportunity last Monday night to sit in Cowboy Stadium down in Arlington, Texas, and watch the Monday night football game. And I tell you, that place was electric. But as soon as the starting quarterback, Tony Romo, got taken out of the game, got hit, I know many of you guys probably clapped here in Missouri. But it was just like in that whole place, you could feel the whole air go out of the place. The whole team just deflated. And man, the place was electric. It was like, oh, you could just feel it. Because they were picked to be in the playoffs and have a strong Super Bowl run, now they are finding themselves like a 1-5 record, really struggling, kind of identifying with some of you Chiefs fans over the years. You know what I'm talking about. You've been there. And some of you know, just a little bit right there. All right, come on, you don't have to throw it in. All you people give me a hard time about Missouri and Oklahoma. I had to give. Oh, anyway, so you can know that they're going through a tough season. You can just see it all over the faces. You can see it all over the owner's face. You can see it all over the players' face. Some of the former players were there. They were walking down the aisle, and they were just shaking their heads, you know, like, We didn't come here to see this. You know, they can just see a defeat all over their face. You know, and that's just a game. But, you know, when it really comes down to it, our life, many times it's the same way. We go through tough seasons when we had high expectations. We had high goals. We had high things that we were setting toward the mark, and we're not there. What we thought was going to be our high point, sometimes we go through a low point. We thought things were going to be broken through, and breakthrough comes in our life. Many times we find ourselves on the opposite end of that spectrum. And we're finding ourselves going through a tough season when we didn't really expect it. And it's how are we going to respond? How do we stand through your toughest season? I love what David has to say about this in Psalms chapter 1, 1 through 3. This is our main text today. We're going to spend most of our time talking about this. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, I love David because David was one of these guys that when you look in the Bible, and I love about the Bible is this, that we see people in their great moments, but we also see people in their darkest moments. And David was a guy who was up and down many times in his life. David was a man who went through some personal struggles, some personal major failures, some personal times of doubt, and he also had some great high moments of doing some great things for God and for the kingdom and being the king of Israel. We have seen so many different aspects. And I love that the Bible shows all these different aspects of David, because I can't relate to a person who walks on the top all the time. I can't relate to a person who never has a mistake. I can't relate to a person who never has a down day. I can't relate to a person who's never failed. I can relate to people who have failed in their life. I can relate to people who have struggles and sometimes say, you know what? I don't always feel like doing the right thing. I don't always feel like God is close to me. I don't always feel like I'm going on the path where I should be. Can anyone relate today? I can relate to that. And so today, as we take and look at David's life, we see where he was writing this in the very first psalm. I love it that he's being honest here. And so what is a tough season? What is a tough season? Let me ask you this question. How do you know you're in a tough season? How do you know you're in a tough season? Let's look at this today and talk through this. Number one, you know you're in a tough season if you have to redefine what a tough season is. You know you're in a tough season if you have to redefine what a tough season this. You know you're in a tough season when you crave the days that all you had to worry about was the house being messed up when you got home, ladies. Guys, you crave the days when all you had to worry about was the car breaking down. You crave the days when all you had to worry about was whether or not you were going to make it through this weekend. You know, is there going to be enough money in the checking account for this weekend? I can make it till Monday, I'll be all right. Those days look really, really good to you. When those days that used to drive you crazy, now you say, if I could just be there, if I could just go home to some normality, if I could just have those days. When you're going through a tough season, those days look really rosy. Those days look really good. When you have to say, this is a whole nother level of tough. You know you're in a tough season. Anyone identify today? You know what I'm talking about. He said, I never imagined walking through this season. I never imagined going through this time in my life. You're going through it. Number two, you know you're in a tough season when none of the cliches work. None of the cliches work. People come up to you and say, brother, just let go and let God. And you're like, ah, you know, please. If somebody else tells me that today, I don't want to hear it. You know you're going through a tough season when people who don't know Scripture try to quote songs to you like it's a Scripture, you know? Or, brother, God's Word says, don't worry, be happy. You're like, shut up, that's not even Scripture. You don't know Scripture, so they quote songs. You know what I'm talking about. And you're coming through your toughest season, and people give you those toughest crusades. Well, I'm praying for you. You're like, are you really? Because I need someone to fast and pray for me. I need someone to call the elders of the church. Lay hands on me, man, because this is tough. You know what I'm talking about. You're going through some times when, man, you just cannot get a breakthrough in your life, and you're going through a tough time. You know you're going through a tough season when everyone else is prospering. They're getting all the breaks, and you're getting nothing. Everybody else gets the promotion, and you don't. Everybody else gets the blessing, and you don't. Everyone else's kids are doing okay, but your kids are causing you havoc. Everyone else is doing this. Everyone else is experiencing this. Everyone else is going through a good time around you, but you seem just a struggle to get up out of bed in the day and to make it through that day. You know you're going through a tough season. You know you're going through a tough season when you look around and everyone, it seems like whatever they do, you're like, man, that heathen, look at him. He don't even love the Lord. And look at what's happening in his life. God, where's mine? I mean, isn't it crazy? I mean, you see people you know who are cheating, lying, stealing to get to where they're at. And it seems like they got some good things and they're driving newer cars and they're living in a better house and they're dressing nice. And it's like, man, they cheated their way there. They stole their way there. And yet here I am trying to do the right thing, and I'm struggling, man. I'm struggling. You know you're going through a tough season. But listen, it's all right, because the Scripture tells us that darkness, listen, that God will cut down all wickedness. People, listen, who don't do the right thing, people who take shortcuts and break the law and break God's law to advance, those seasons will only last a short time in their life, and they will face the judgment. They will face a harsh reality. And so we got to get our eyes off these things of everybody else prospering. We find ourselves jealous because this person's prospering. How is it possible in this economy this person is prospering and everybody else is failing? You know you're going through a tough season when you have those times. You know you're going through a tough season when it lasts way too long. You know you're going through a tough season when it goes on and on and on. You know what I'm saying? It goes on and on and on and on, and it doesn't stop. You know you're going through a tough season when it seems like, man, this tough season is just not coming to an end. It's a tough season when it seems like you cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's a tough season when you say, I do not know whether my smile is going to come back again. I do not know when I'll ever return to having joy in my heart. I do not know when I'll ever climb out of this financial mess. I do not know when I'll ever have that relationship restored. I do not know. It's a tough season. It's a tough season. Job says this, but God sets an end to all darkness. Let me say it again to you today. If you're going through this time, you feel like it is a long, long, long time. You've been going through this tough season for a long, long time. Let me hear you today. You know that it's today that God is saying this to you, that darkness, that God sets an end to all dark seasons in our life. He said this, that weeping may last through the night, but joy returneth in the morning. And I'm here today to speak to your life and to tell you that God will and shall return joy back to your life. As you will see the light of day again, and you will smile again, you will begin to walk again, you will begin to run again. But will you stand through the tough season, or will you give up? God's promises are there. God's sustaining grace is there. But will we stand through your toughest season? And it's hard when it goes on and on and on, and you don't see the end. You find yourself wanting to throw in the towel and give it up. You hang on. Let me say it again. You hang on today. Hold on through your tough season. You know you're in a tough season when it causes you to have self-doubt. When you begin to have self-doubt about yourself and doubt, am I really ever going to achieve anything? Or am I just going to be, maybe someone's told you in your life, you'll never achieve or amount to anything. You'll never be a success. You'll never see God's mercy in your life. You'll never see God's blessing in your life. You'll never achieve more. You'll always be, just like everybody else in our family, you'll always struggle. And you find yourself self-doubting. Maybe I am just destined to be a loser, man. That's what you say. Your voice is telling you in your head, you're just going to be a loser the rest of your life. You're not providing for your family the way you ought to. You're not giving your wife this. You're not giving your husband this. You're not giving your children this. You're not able to give to the church this way. And you've got so many things happening in your mind, you begin to have self-doubt. Am I even qualified? Where's God at? Where's God even love me? And I begin to doubt, and that voice begins to speak to you. You start to doubt your walk with God. But David said in this verse we just read, he says, meditate on the scriptures. What? Meditate on the law day and night. This word meditate is in this Hebrew original meaning simply means the self-talk. The self-talk to yourself. What does that mean? It means I talk to myself about the scriptures. So when I'm having doubts and I'm going through a tough season and things are happening in my mind, Satan's coming to me and doubt's coming to me and saying, you're a loser. You're not going to make it through this day. You're not going to make it through this week. You're not going to make it through this season. Your marriage is going to fail. Your children will never serve the Lord. You got so many things you're going through and things are speaking to you. It's time. Sometimes you just got to strap it up like a man and woman you are. Sometimes you got to pull up, you know, your pull-ups. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Sometimes you got to pull up your Depends. Okay. And say this. It's time for me to put on my big boy and girl panties, okay? And I got to walk in God's faith and say this. I am going to self-meditate on what the Word of God says about my life. Because the Word says that I am more than a conqueror. The Word says that I shall overcome. God's Word says that God has a blessing for my life. God's Word says this darkness shall come to an end. God's Word says this, that I shall smile again. God's Word says this, that I shall walk prosperous once again. I talk to myself. I self-meditate. I'm talking, telling myself, encouraging myself what God's Word is saying to me. You know you're going through a tough season when God gets real quiet. When God gets real quiet. How many of you ever felt that way, that man, you couldn't hear God's voice if it was coming over the PA system right now? You ever had those times when you're like, man, God, where are you? I haven't heard your voice. I haven't felt your spirit all week, all month. It's been a long time. I am feeling dry. I'm feeling barren. I'm feeling like I'm on my own. And God, I'm needing you. And God, I don't feel you. Anyone can be honest here today, I've had those times. Have you ever said, I felt like that? Yeah, that's a very honest time. You know you're going through a tough season when you know that God's being quiet. But let me ask you this. Does the teacher ever talk when he's given a test? No. Does the teacher give the test and then teach the lesson? No. We teach the lesson, and then we're given the test. And many times in our life, when we're going through a tough season, the reason why the teacher, our God, is not talking is because we're walking through a test. But how many knows all tests come to an end? All tests will end soon. All tests at some point do come to an end. And you begin to say, you know what? Even though I don't hear his voice right now, I know that I'm walking through a test. And I'm proving to him that I'm going to be faithful, that I'm going to learn the things I've been taught and apply into my life. So when I walk through a tough season, I don't just throw in the towel and say, I quit. I mean, we all have children like this, don't we? That when things get tough, they just don't want to do it anymore. You sign your kid up for the first day of football or basketball or band camp or whatever, and they have to go out there and march. And they got to run and run and run. And not do the fun things, but they march and run and do exercises, and they come home. I don't want to do it no more. I quit. What do? If you're a parent who believes in making your kids follow through, you know that in the long run, it's going to do a lot more better for them to learn to stick out their commitment. And the follow through, but they committed through and work through the hard times, because they're just learning to get in shape is all they're doing. Before they can ever teach them any plays, before they can ever get on the field in advance and become a winner, they got to first of all get in shape. And so the coaches have got to get them in shape. They got to get them used to it. And so it's hard during those times. But many times in our life where God's trying to get us in shape, God's taking us through a tough season. God's allowing us to go through that tough season in our life, because he's putting us to a test. He's preparing you for what's ahead. And if you'll just hold on, if you'll just not quit, that God's going to make a winner out of you. That God's got a blessing for you. And God's got a place he's going to elevate you to. God's got a place, a new place that he's taking you to. Let me tell you this. God is not mad at you. Many times when God's quiet, we think, God's mad at me. He's just mad at me. I knew I shouldn't have done that. And I remember in 1993, I knew it would come back to haunt me. And you think, God's mad at me. That's why he's not talking to me. And you go around self-defeated all the time. God's mad at me. God's not mad at you. God loves you. He loves you more than we could ever comprehend or understand. His grace is so much bigger than we can even comprehend in our life. God's not mad at you. But at times, he does take us through seasons where we have to grow up. It's important that my children walk through tough seasons and they learn how to be responsible. They learn how to stick things out. They learn how to fight through the pain, how to stick to their commitment. Because I know it's maturing them to become healthy adults. And so in the same process, God's looking at us saying, sometimes we got to mature. In order for us to have a full understanding of what God wants to do, we have to experience some pain. We got to experience some tough seasons to get to where God's taking us. He's not mad at you. You're just taking a test. But because you're in a covenant relationship, you must stay faithful. Let's say there was a guy here today, and maybe he was closing in on 50. Because I'm closing in on 40, I'm going to use closing in on 50 today for this illustration. Let's say he's closing in on 50, and he's going through kind of a midlife crisis. And he decides, you know what, I'm going to go out, and I'm going to find a car lot. And he goes to Dennis. He goes to D&J. He says, Dennis, man, I like that sports car you got out there. How much is it? And you shoot him a good deal. And he drives away that day with a new sports car. It's got a convertible. He signs the contract, and he leaves. And as he gets in that thing, it's just a lot lower than he's used to riding. And he gets about 2 miles down the road, and he realizes my back is not feeling that great. And he's thinking, you know what? But if I drive this car, the ladies will always check me out the way they did 20 years ago. So I'm going to continue to drive this car. And so he lowers the convertible. And he can feel the wind going through his toupee. And he drives it a couple weeks, and he realizes, man, that cold air just really does havoc on my arthritis. Can't keep my toupee on. My back's hurting. My arthritis is, this is not the car for me. And so after a month, he takes the car back to Dennis and says, Dennis, I want my money back. Sorry, I don't like this car. What are you going to tell him? Sorry, buddy. You signed a contract, right? Like anybody else would. You signed a contract. See, a contract is binding. It's a covenant thing that you're making. You're making a covenant relationship that I'm going to stick to it. I'm making a covenant relationship. You know, there's something about marriage. I've done three weddings this month alone, three weddings. And in those weddings, I've done marriage counseling, and I tell every one of them, I tell all the newlyweds as I'm counseling, marriage is not what you think it is. It's not all you think it is, really. I tell them, be honest with you, it's great, but it's also a lot of hard work. And it's going to be a lot of tough times you're going to walk through. And right now, you're experiencing the high of it. But I guarantee you, there's going to come a day when you're not going to feel like being married again. There's going to come a day when you don't feel like serving the person that you're married to. There's just going to come a day when you don't feel like being nice to them. There's going to come a day when you don't feel like telling them, oh, yeah, you still look great today. There's going to come a day when you don't feel like dying to yourself, because that's what it takes. See, there's a reason why they make you sign a contract. They don't want to make it easy to get out. There's a reason why you have to get married in front of witnesses. They want you to, hey, I know you're married, because they know you would take off really fast. Marriage is hard. But we do it as a covenant relationship. We have to stick it out. See, we have to know this, that God is calling us to a covenant relationship. And when we get into a covenant relationship with God, that we have to stand through the tough times. We got to stand even when times are hard. For anybody who's been married before, you know the only way that marriage is going to work out is if you stand through your tough times. If one person is unwilling to stand through the tough times, that marriage will probably dissolve. It takes both partners willing to work it out. Both partners willing to say, come hell or high water, I'm going to stand. I'm going to hold my ground. I'm going to take the necessary steps to make this thing work. It's the same thing in your Christian walk. Let me tell you. When you're first saved, I love being around new Christians because, man, they're so on fire for the Lord. And they want to go out and tell all their friends about God and how great it is and how much God's done. And I wish we could all just take some of that passion and never forget that passion we had when we first saved. But I'm here to tell you that there's going to come times in your life when you're going to doubt whether or not God's even talking to you. And you can't comprehend that when you're first saved. But as you know, as you've been saved longer, that you go through those times when those seasons when it's just tough. And you say, God, are you really there? God, are you really, really there? And you're going to have to stand into the covenant relationship that you made. Because God's standing. The scripture says he will never leave you nor forsake you. Let me hear that again today. He will never leave you or forsake you. He has not left you. He is not leaving you. He is just being quiet right now. Sometimes my wife and I, after 17 years, going on 18 years of marriage, she knows when I'm being quiet, that sometimes it's just best to let me be quiet. She's learned that about me. I know when not to push her as well. I know. It's honey, you just be quiet. It's okay. It's all right. Sometimes we have to just have seasons of being quiet. In our relationship with the Lord, sometimes there's seasons of having to be quiet and walk through it out of commitment. Standing in your covenant relationship with the Lord, not giving up, staying there. Let me say this for you. God has prepared you for your toughest season. The teacher has always prepared you for the test. Now, whether or not you're ready, that's up to you. But the teacher has always given you the information for you to make it through the test. Let me say it again in this way. God has always prepared you and I to make it through our toughest season. God has always given us what we need to walk through this test. It's up to you and I to stick it out and to be there. Let me tell you this. You haven't always had it easy. I haven't always had it easy, and you haven't always had it easy. How many can remember a hard time in your life? Yeah, we walked through some hard times. You haven't always had it easy. You survived then, and you're going to survive now, okay? God didn't forsake you then, and he's not forsaking you now. You shall rise again. You shall experience joy again. You shall be prosperous again. You shall walk in the blessing of the Lord once again. You shall walk the way God has called you to walk again. You will run again. But you got to hang on. Hold on to the covenant that God has for you. David, I love it that he talked about this and he was saying, I'm going to be planted. David was anointed king at a young age. What a high time. But immediately following that, his brothers hated him. Saul attacked him. The lion attacked him. The bear attacked him. Goliath attacked him. Saul's armies chased him. But the blessed man learns to talk to himself in the tough season. The blessed man learns to hang on to what God's taught him. The blessed man's learned to say, you know what? I remember that season of grace. I remember that message on being overwhelmed by grace. I remember that message on, oh yeah, I remember on, I love your word. I remember what God's word says when I was reading three chapters a day. I remember that promise that God gave to me. I remember what was going through, and I'm hanging on. I'm not going to give up. I'm standing through my tough time. Blessed, that's what the scripture said, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Listen, don't take advice from people who don't serve the Lord. Don't take advice from people who don't honor the Lord. Don't take advice from people on finances who don't pay their tithes. Listen, you want to be blessed? Take the counsel from the godly and forsake the counsel of the ungodly. Don't let your girlfriend, ladies, tell you about how good it is not to be married when their marriage fell all apart and they only see their kids every other week. You know what I'm talking about. And they're going to try and tell you how to fix your marriage. They're going to tell you how much better it is to be single. Listen, guys, don't listen to the guy who only gets to see his kids every 3 weeks or every once a month or twice a year because he's lost his family. And he's trying to tell you, oh, yeah, man, being a bachelor is the best thing, man. Don't take advice from those people. Take advice from the godly people who honor the Lord, who know what it means to stick it out in the hard time, who knows what it means to work through difficult times, who knows what it means to struggle, but yet their hope is in the Lord. But yet they stuck it out in the Lord, and they honor the Lord, and God has taken them through seasons of toughness, but yet they've come out on the other side. The blessed man is like the tree who's planted by the rivers of water. After months of producing good fruit, not every tree produces fruit all year round, does it? It has seasons when it's barren. It has seasons when it's dried up. It has seasons when it looks like that tree is dead and gone. You know what I'm talking about? A tree that was full of fruit, that was full of leaves. Now as we go through the fall season, they lose the green leaves, and the leaves begin to fall away, and that tree looks barren, almost looks dead, and people begin to cut away and trim it up, and man, it looks like, man, what, they just killed the tree? They just killed that tree. It's dry. Let me tell you this, cold weather does not kill the tree. Cold weather does not kill the tree. What does cold weather do? Cold weather kills the bugs that kill the tree. And so it's necessary for that tree to go through the cold weather so it can survive and come out to produce fruit once again. It's necessary for that tree to be trimmed back so it can have more fruit and bigger branches and bigger leaves. And just because you're going through a cold time doesn't mean God has forsaken you. It means just that God is preparing you. He's cutting out things in your life that need to be trimmed. He's focusing you, getting you ready for a new season of fruitfulness. He's getting you ready for a new season of multiplying. He's getting you ready for a new season of blessing. Hallelujah. Come on, better say amen to that. God is preparing you right now for a new season where you will smile again or you will run again. But you have to go through those freezing times. When you take something and you put it in the freezer, what do? You're saying, this is a good thing, but I'm going to save it for later. I don't need it right now. Now is not the right appropriate time, but there's going to come a time when that thing is thawed out. Some of you are going to get that this morning. There's going to come a time when God takes you out of the cold season. There's going to come a time when you walk out of that cold season and you walk into the blessing that God has for you. If you ever felt like you were cut down, ever felt like you were froze out, like you were ugly, like you were barren, you stand, and you stand firm, because there will be another day. when you will multiply again. You got to be planted, though. You got to stay planted in your marriage. You got to stay planted in the Word. You got to stay planted in the house of the Lord. Then you will walk in the blessing once again. Don't forsake assembling of yourself together. Stay there. Listen, Satan's curse was this, that Satan has nowhere to be planted until he's cast into the lake of fire. There's nowhere for Satan to be planted right now. He was kicked out of heaven. Matter of fact, a couple of times in the scripture, we said where Satan goes from to and fro looking. Matter of fact, when God asked Satan where he was at, you know, when he's talking to Job, Satan says, I've been going to and fro. What's to and fro? I mean, he's over here, over there, around here, around. He don't have where to plant himself. There's something, there's a curse that he has. He has nowhere really to plant himself. But you and I have the privilege of being planted in a covenant relationship, stability. There's power in being planted. Matthew 18:19 says this, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Deuteronomy 32:30. How could one man chase 1,000, but two men, what, put 10,000 to flight? Knowing this, that when you're planted, that you are in a covenant relationship in a marriage, you're in a covenant relationship in a church, you're in a covenant relationship with people, other Christians, you say, I'm staying firm. Why? Because I know that there's power in this covenant relationship. There's power in our relationship together. There's power as you can walk through your tough season together. There's power that I don't give up and try to walk on my own, but no, more than ever, I'm going to stay planted, knowing that if I agree with my brother that God's going to bring me through this tough season. I know that by myself, I can chase 1,000 demons of light. But you know what? If in my spouse, we agree, we can chase 10,000 demons of light. It's the power of the covenant relationship. As the musicians come this morning, don't forget about the power of partnership. If you get up on Sunday morning and the devil has faxed you a top 10 reasons why not to go to church this morning, know this, that God's got a blessing waiting for you. And when you're going through a tough season, you're going to have all kinds of excuses why not to be here, why not to be involved, just a hit and miss. You're going to have all kinds of excuses coming up. Everybody's going to call you about a birthday. They're going to call you about a work project. They're going to call you about something you got to do. You got stuff to do at the house. You got yards to mow, leaves to rake. You got to get ready for Christmas and Thanksgiving. You got to call this. You got to go see your mom. Listen, Satan's going to give you all kinds of excuses. Are any of those things wrong in yourself? No. But when they come before the house of the Lord, they are wrong in your life. You got to stay planted because you need that during your toughest season above all. You got to stay planted because we need a covenant relationship. We need that with each other. We walk through this together, not only with God, we hang on to the Lord, but we hang on to each other. Don't give up in a tough season. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. Today I want you to bow your heads where you're at this morning. If you're here today and say, Pastor, man, I'm just going through a tough season in my life. I'm going through a tough season, and maybe you can be honest, I've even felt like giving up. I felt like giving up, and I didn't even know if I was going to make it out of this tough season. How many can be honest today and say, Pastor, that's me. I'm going through that tough season right now. Just raise your hand and tell me that's me. Yeah, several, yeah. Thanks for being honest. Like I said today, you're either there, or you've been there, or you're going to be there. Listen, God's here today to tell you, speak right into your life personally, but tell you that your tough season is not going to last. But God's going to help you overcome. God's going to help you to overcome. That's the promise you have in Him, but you can't give up. You can't throw in the towel. More than ever, you got to determine in your heart, I'm going to stay planted. I'm going to stay standing before the Lord. Ask you to do this today. If you raise your hand and say, I'm going through a tough season in my life, I want you to stand up where you're at right now. Just stand up where you're at. Just be honest for us. We're honest for each other. Listen, yeah. look at me. As your pastor today, I'm here to tell you, God's not through. So just hang on. If you just hang on, your season is going to come to an end. And you're going to walk in a new season of blessing, a new season that God's got for you. And you're going to be stronger. Listen, I'm a better pastor today of walking through the tough times in my life. I'm a better husband today because I walked through tough times in my life. I'm better because I've walked through those tests. And God's made me stronger. He's allowed me to give more grace to people. He's cut away some things in my life that need to be cut away. And He's allowing me, He's shaping me to become the person that He's calling me to be. Weeping lasts for the night, but your joy shall return in the morning. And it gets darkest when? Just before the dawn. So if you feel like all hell's breaking loose in your life, congratulations, you're almost through. If it seems like it's so dark, congratulations, you're about to find your way out. Don't give up. Don't give up. I'm going to pray for you today. I want you just to raise your hands where you're at this morning. I'm going to pray to Father right now, Lord. I pray for every person here today who says they're being honest. God, I'm just going through a tough season in my life. God, I'm going through a tough season. I don't even feel you at times. God, what's this being honest? David said that many times in the Psalms. Oh, God, where are you? But God, he always found his way back to you. And today, we're coming back to you, God, saying we're going to stay planted in you in a covenant relationship. We're not going to throw in the towel on our relationships we wanted to abandon. We're not going to throw in the towel. But God, today, we're going to walk through the dark time. We're going to walk, Lord, united with our spouse, united with other believers, united today in a covenant relationship, saying, God, we're going to hold on to you because, God, you've got the best still yet ahead for us. And, God, if you have chosen for us to go through this test today, and, God, in return, that, God, you're going to take us through. And we're going to come out stronger. We're going to come out better. We're going to come out, Lord, with a new vision, new fruit. And, God, we're going to walk in your kingdom like we never have before. We're hanging on today. We refuse to give up. We refuse to give up. We refuse to give up today. We refuse to give up today, God. But today we know that, God, our hope is in you. Lord, our strength is in you. Now I want every believer today to stand up with them today. Just raise your hands where you're at. All believers today, just raise your hands where you're at. Say, God, our hope is in you. God, our strength is in you. God, we join in faith today as we stand with our brothers and sisters today. God, blessing them. Lord, praying for them, God. You're pulling them through, God, in the name of Jesus. God, you're pulling them through, God. They're standing tough. Standing tough, God. Come on. Lord.
What can separate me?
The yes
now.
To you today, God. Not going to give up.
At the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this.
Holy steadfast in you, Lord.
You have overcome the grave. The glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? You tore the veil, you made a way. When you said that it is done, you tore the veil, you made a way. When you said
Pastor Joseph closes in prayer, and as he does today, I just speak to you once again. Stay planted. Don't give up. Matter of fact, turn to your neighbor right now and say, don't give up. Come on, say, tell him one group big. Don't give up. Your brightest days ahead. Your best days are ahead if you don't give up. Listen, as soon as we dismiss this morning, remember to stack your chairs up and stacks of sticks to help us out. Pastor Joe, come this morning. We'll see you tonight. Dismiss us in a word of prayer.
Father God, we are so thankful that you have met us here in this time. Now, Father, as we leave from this place, that we would not leave from your presence, God, that we would walk with you today, the rest of our week. Father, we ask blessings upon us this week. Let our light shine into a darkened world, and Father, let us be that light. We ask you, God, to be with us today, and we're so thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.